This is what we know. Chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, we know knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If we think we know, we don't yet. If we think we are standing firm, be careful, says Paul in chapter 10, verse 12. We have rights. Don't use them if they make someone stumble, says Paul. We have rights. Lay them down if they get in the way of someone understanding the gospel. You see, every day we make choices. And these warnings and encouragement from the Apostle Paul and his companions, Barnabas and the like, they can help us make right choices. They can help us choose rightly, make the best choices actually for our own good and for the good of others. Now, I've got some work for us to do today. You love it when I give you work to do, but this is going to be encouraging for others, for everybody, I'm sure. And it's actually perfect because I'm going to divide you into two groups. And look, there's this empty streak down the middle there. Oh, sorry, Wayne. You are complete. You have to choose. You have to choose. You're going to go on that side or that side. You'll both get to do the same thing. So I'm going to get, that's Isaiah back there, putting this on the screen for us. Now, this group, I'm going to give you the task of telling that group what is in bold. See, there's bold and then there's italics, okay? So you're going to kind of turn your heads and say to them what's in bold. And then you folks on this side, again, Wayne, choose ye this day, you're going to do the italics back at them, okay? We've only got, and then we're also going to say the third slide together. So it's not real hard, but we can do it. Make sure the other people hear what you're saying, okay? Are you ready? Okay. I Did you get that? Good, because we're going to do it again. But with gusto, okay? A little bit. Make sure they know what you think about this, okay? And warning, back and forth. You got it? It's not hard, right? Just make sure they hear. And then when you go home, you can say it to your parents again if they need to hear it. Okay, you ready? Okay, let's start again. Wonderful. Now it's in your heads, and it's something to take home with you, and it's a warning and an encouragement, and something that we say quite regularly, I have the right to do anything. But these things, this is something to help us finish our race, so we don't get disqualified. Wouldn't that be horrible? Get disqualified? You see, we all want to live well. We all want to live full out. And our prize at the end of this is better than any Olympic gold. Our prize, our gold medal, lasts forever, and that's in 9:25. And we need each other. We're a team. We're a family. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. That's what family is. Paul uses his own life as an example in chapter 9. Paul knew he had the right to do anything, but not everything was constructive. Not everything builds others up. Isn't that great? Constructive. Building. Do you get it? Those are parallels in there. Not everything builds others up. He wanted to put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel. Chapter 9, verse 12b. He wanted to put up with anything rather than hinder anyone from hearing about Jesus, the culmination of all the ages. And in chapter 10, Paul uses stories from Israel's history. They had all the same big life events. It's kind of like us, you know? We all have the same big life events. Some choose well. Some chose well. Some didn't. Some don't. These are to be examples for us, Paul warns. This is chapter 10, verse 6 and forward. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. In verse 8, we should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. Here's one that might be a little bit more applicable. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. You see, these examples come from the ancestors of the Jewish folk in Corinth. That's who Paul's talking to here. But also, they were the ancestors of the Christians there. And therefore, there are ancestors as well. Use their example to make good choices, says Paul. Chapter 10, verse 11. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. It's a very, very common verse. Let me say that again. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. You see, there's nothing new in the area of evil. It's all been tried before. Now, here's a really encouraging part of this verse. I'll go on. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Be careful that you don't fall, he says. But you don't have to live in fear. When we face all sorts of tests and temptations and hardships, we can face them with joy instead of fear. And why? Because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Christ is in me. It's not me being all that. It's not me looking out for number one, grabbing the oxygen mask from the person beside me on the plane because I don't want to die and there's not enough masks to go around. Instead, it's calmly putting on my oxygen mask first because I'm seeking the good of others. I want to stay alive to be helpful, and I'm convinced there is a mask for every seat. I'm not full of fear. Because why? Because God is faithful. And we are not our own. We are not alone. Now, we also have some more recent examples. We've got the whole Hebrew scriptures and many, many stories. These are great examples, but we've got some interesting ones, and I thought I'd carefully show them to you here a little bit, just so you know, because we do know some folks that are pretty good examples. Probably everybody's heard of Billy Graham. Maybe some of the younger ones haven't, but Billy Graham, I think, is a great example, a famous person who ended well, as far as I know. I don't know Billy Graham, but pretty sure we didn't hear any big claps or anything. Yay, Billy Graham. Whew. And then we got, this is a book I just bought for the library, and you're probably all going to read it, so no stampeding afterwards, but this is the memoir of Eugene Peterson. And we used to joke the last book he wrote was the Bible. So he's quite a character. He's since passed, and he made it with no great big blah at the end, right? Like, this is a good example. And we go on. So those were the good ones. So there's also some things that happen that just doesn't work so well. I'm going to hold this up because these are public people. And we can all name many, many of the most public people. This is a book by Ravi Zacharias. This is a great book. It's still in my library. After he died, it was terrible stories came out about this man who we thought this is incredible man of God. And then we find out it wasn't like that. It was horrible. What happened to poor Ravi? And then just very recently, I'll do this one because, again, one of my all-time favorite books. I probably have 10 of his books in my library, and I'm not throwing them away because this man failed miserably. Just this past year, it came out about an affair he was having for the last 8 years. What happened? What happened to Phil? How did he get disqualified? Now, as far as I know from all the stuff, I don't know him personally, but I heard that he repented. And that although there was a failing, he has come back to, like, he said sorry. I'm not sure if Ravi ever did. We never heard those stories. These are big signposts. Don't go that way. Make sure you have your own oxygen mask on. If we think we know, we don't yet. If we think we are standing firm, be careful. Be careful, says Paul. I'm very careful. I try to be very careful about how I feel about people I don't know. I'm also trying very hard to be careful about people I do know, because I don't know your hearts, right? And I think that's something that we can all learn a little better. We don't know what happens, what makes people fall. Proverbs 21, verse 4. Yeah. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the unplowed field of the wicked, produce sin. So I read that. That's an incredible wise verse there. Do I have unplowed fields? I don't know if that's the question you'd come up with for that, but maybe. Do I have unplowed fields? And if I do, what do my unplowed fields produce? Is that what you'd get from that verse? Think about that for a moment. Now, I'm thinking unplowed fields means the area of my life that hasn't been dug up, that hasn't been cultivated. It's unplowed. I haven't been paying attention to it. Do I have those? And if I do, what do my unplowed fields produce? The wicked might not notice their haughty eyes. I'm not sure that's a big... Do you guys know what haughty eyes are? It's a whole haughty. It's up there, right? Proud, haughty eyes, and proud hearts. See, in the wicked, that's their unplowed field. They haven't dug up what's causing that. They might not even know that their eyes are haughty and they are proud. They think they are standing firm. Careful, careful, says Paul. And obviously here, so does the ancient wisdom of the Proverbs. That pride, those haughty eyes, produce sin, which is separation from God. Sin is what takes us away from being near him. If we think we are standing firm, if we think we are all that and finding ourselves glad that we're not stupid like those other people, if we're glad we're not stupid like those other people, well, is this a field that needs digging up in our lives? Well, there's something to do about that. And that's just one. Maybe you would never describe yourself as having haughty eyes or a proud heart. But there's one way to do the digging that exceeds all other ways. I mean, you could go to some self-help groups or whatever, but this is the way. We pray. These are words from Psalm 136, just short. And I hope you can pray this with me. I'm adding the first line. Lord, plow the fields of my heart. Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in your way, the way everlasting. Amen. Okay, I'm going to let you think about if you have unplowed fields. It doesn't mean we always have to be grinding around finding, but some stuff sneaks up on you. Some stuff sneaks up on you. And you find yourself disqualified. At the risk of repeating myself, I'm going to pray this again. And let the Spirit do what he does. He opens our eyes. He makes us clean. And so we pray, Lord, plow the fields of my heart. Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any wicked, offensive way in me. And lead me in your way everlasting. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we know that knowledge puffs up, makes us proud, gives us haughty eyes, if we think we're all that. But love builds up. We have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial or constructive, right? We are running a race, facing temptations and trials, not just seeking our own good, but the good of others. And all of this we do in the power of Christ. Christ in us, because he loves us and he gave himself for us. So before we respond to him in song, we'll just be quiet for a moment. Let the Spirit encourage you, challenge you, but just listen to him and think of what we've been talking about today.